We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chris Mannix of Yahoo Sports. Of course, NBC Sports in Boston. Chris, were you surprised? I guess not necessarily that Celtics won, but the way they won.
Yeah, because they haven't won many games like this. I mean, most of their wins, whether it's regular season, postseason, whatever, are come from behind. I mean, they have been kind of the comeback kids all season long, and you expected that. But, you know, their offense clicked early. The defense was pretty good, though I think it's been overrated to some degree. I think Cleveland missed more shots than Boston was about contesting them. But, yeah, I mean, you just don't see Boston blowing out too many teams. It just hasn't happened for them in the kind of post-Kyrie world.
What do you make of yesterday's game, Chris? I mean, like LeBron, the team, they look lethargic. They couldn't hit shots. Do we look at it as Cavs fans and say, let's just say, hey, it was one game, the Cavs can bounce back, or were there things you saw that should make us alarmed?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of both. You know, it is just one game, and, you know, LeBron has been here too many times to really overreact as he didn't after one game. At the same time, you know, the Cavs have been playing with fire for parts of this postseason. I mean, you know, you go back to the Indiana series, as great as LeBron played in game two, and you guys know this, I mean, they're, you know, Victor Oladipo was like the most open Victor Oladipo's ever been in at the end of game two for that three-pointer. He makes that, you go to overtime, and anything can happen. So just because LeBron is going to take his game to another gear in game two, it guarantees nothing. So, you know, those open shots that we talked about, the J.R. Smith open shots, the Kevin Love open shots, Korver even had a couple of open shots. They've got to make those. Simple as that. I mean, it's not rocket science with what they're trying to do out there. And certainly Boston is probably the savviest, smartest, whatever you want to put it, defensive team that they've faced in this postseason. But when they get those open looks, those role players, they've got to make it, because LeBron just going crazy, it doesn't guarantee anything anymore.
Chris, you know, to me, yesterday was a perfect example, especially with Ty Lue's comments today, as to why Brad Stevens, in my opinion, and I'm sure the opinion of many people, is a much better coach than Ty Lue. Like, I think as fans, we and broadcasters also will judge a team based on the previous series and say, well, that's what we are, or something worked in that series, so let's just stick with it. Brad Stevens saw in this matchup, it made sense to switch the lineup, go with Marcus Morris, Baines on the bench, and because of this specific matchup against the Cavs. Ty Lue said, oh, well, it makes sense. The number, the analytics tell me Tristan Thompson makes sense against Al Horford, but I'm not going to start him because I want to go with what's been working. Like, to me, the good coaches are proactive and don't just say, well, we won with that, so it's going to work now against Boston. Is that fair or unfair?
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. You have to be proactive.
Yeah.
What Brad Stevens has going for him, though, is a roster full of guys at this point that are, you know, very pliable and open to different roles. I mean, yeah, I'm with you on Tristan Thompson. Given the history with Horford, I probably would have started him in game one, because he just, I don't know if he has real estate now Horford's head, but he certainly has had a lot of effect, positive effect on him over the years. So I might have made that adjustment early on, forced Boston to go super big with Baines at the five. But again, Boston's comfortable playing like that. As well, it certainly benefited Boston to put Marcus Morris in that starting lineup and be a little smaller and be a little more fluid out there. And they're probably at their best when they are playing that way. I mean, when they're out there with a bunch of guys that can switch to two or three different positions, they're incredibly tough defensively. So it's a good move that he's going to Thompson in game two. It seems like it can certainly make the argument that he should have done in game one.
We're talking with Chris Mannix of Yahoo and NBC Boston. Chris, you know, we've seen LeBron lose game ones, get blown out in game ones, and then bounce back. So, you know, a lot of people here in Cleveland thought this series was going to be a cakewalk for the Cavs. I thought it would be a hard-fought series. In the end, I picked the Cavs at six, and I'm not going to switch that based on one game. To me, where the Celtics send a message or make a statement, if you will, is game two. A lot of teams have won that first game with LeBron, but can you back it up when he's backs against the wall a little bit in the East? Nobody's been able to do it. To me, that would be huge if they could. Is it over if Boston wins game two?
No, it's weird. Like, if Cleveland wins game two, I think I feel very comfortable with them winning the series, because Boston has been pretty bad on the road, and they are a young team, and can you shake some of their confidence in a conference final? I mean, they've played so well so far, but I think they're vulnerable, very vulnerable in a game two. At the same time, I think Cleveland can come back from an 0-2 deficit. I think they can win those two games in Cleveland and rebuild some of the momentum, and I think they clearly can come to Boston and win a game on the road. But, you know, for the Celtics, I mean, what a mental boost it would be to win these first two games. You can already hear, I mean, I was in the locker room last night. You know, guys like Marcus Smart are like, you know, we're not the same team as last year. Like, we're a different team. We're tougher. We're hungrier. You know, we're built for this type of stuff. And I agree with them, because I think this Boston team, even without a quote-unquote offensive star, is better equipped to beat Cleveland this year than they were last year. Part of that, of course, is, you know, Cleveland's without Kyrie. But, you know, for Boston, they need game two. Game two for the Celtics is as close to a must-win as you get.
Agreed.
How good's Rozier?
He's really good. And you know, I remember the draft, and it takes me back there. And I remember being really down on him on draft night because, you know, who is this guy? Terry Rozier, he's out of Louisville. You know, wasn't this spectacular star in college. But one thing Celtics officials always told me about him was, look, he's got elite athleticism. He's got an elite-looking jump shot, and he works as hard as anybody on the floor. So they figured that, you know, all those attributes, you plug them all together, and it might take a little bit of time, but he was going to get there. He was going to get to this point. Sure enough, really, as soon as Kyrie Irving got hurt, go back to February, as soon as Kyrie went out, Terry Rozier stepped in and was brilliant. Very few clunkers along the way. I mean, look, last night wasn't his best game, but that just bodes well for the future. This kid doesn't get down on himself. He doesn't let the way he played in one game affect the way he plays in the next. I think Terry Rozier is going to have a really good game in game two, and that could be a wild card for the Celtics because, Boston's going to get Cleveland's best shot, no question. I mean, LeBron's going to play great. But I didn't think Jason Tatum played great in game one.
No.
I thought he had great spurts. I don't think he played great. And Terry Rozier certainly didn't play all that well. And the Marcus Smart experience, which is what I call it, it was on the negative side in game one. So Boston's got a lot of guys that can play a lot better in game two as well.
I actually agree with you, Chris. I thought Tatum looked a little tentative in the first quarter. Now, that went away eventually, but I thought in the first quarter he seemed a little tentative, and you're right. Rozier was lousy shooting the ball yesterday.
Yeah, and he hasn't been lousy all postseason.
Right.
Usually in the fourth quarter is when he picks it up. The guy you have to be worried about if you're Cleveland is Smart, though. Like, he's such a roller coaster to watch. I mean, he's... You know, defensively, you're going to get his A game every single night. I mean, there's nothing I like more than watching, like, Marcus Smart wave off the double team when he's got LeBron, when he's defending LeBron. I mean, he just has such unbridled confidence in himself. And he's a big reason, maybe the biggest reason since he came back from injury, that Boston is here playing right now. But if he gets going offensively, that's a problem for Cleveland. He's so streaky. But if he gets that shot going and they can count on him, it could spell big trouble for the Cavs.
What do the Cavs do when they have to put Kyle Korver on the court? Defensively?
I hope you can hide him because, you know, in the last round, you know, look at Marco Bellinelli, for example. Marco Bellinelli in the first round for Philadelphia was great, and Miami couldn't figure out a way to exploit him defensively. In the second round, Boston went Bellinelli hunting every time down, and that's what they're going to continue to do whenever they see Korver on the floor. They're also going to keep doing that with LeBron, too, for different reasons, trying to wear him out on the defensive end. But Korver, they're going to find. Like, anywhere he's out there on the floor, they're going to find him. They're going to put him in motion. They're going to try to get him in sets. Like, they would love nothing more to have a Kyle Korver, Kevin Love pick-and-roll situation.
Yeah.
They believe they can pick that play apart. So, you know, you can try to hide him. But, again, it goes back to the intelligence of Boston, its coaching staff. They're going to find him out there, and he's going to have to defend.
Chris Mannix of Yahoo, NBC Boston is with us. Chris, you know, I was saying before that, Of their seven top guys in their rotation, outside of Baines, the other six are in a way so interchangeable, right? They can all score, they can all hit the glass. None of them are terrible passers. They move the ball. They all can play at least decent defense. And I think even though none of them are elite superstars at least yet, I think that balance and interchangeableness, if you will, of that team makes them dangerous because the Cavs aren't that way.
Yeah, and look, they're getting better and better offensively together every single game. You know, you go back to the end of the regular season, even the first round against Milwaukee a little bit, they had some dry spells because they don't have that guy you can hand the ball to and expect to make a play. Tatum's going to be that guy someday, and maybe Jaylen Brown will be too, but they're not quite there yet. So they had a lot of dry spells. Those dry spells over the last two rounds, they're gone. You know, Boston, you know, they're not as potent as they would be with Kyrie, of course, Gordon Hayward, but they've got guys that can make plays. I mean, Jaylen Brown's confidence is through the roof right now. I mean, he came back, you know, those extra days off for that hamstring injury, they've been invaluable to Jaylen Brown. And I'm convinced, and I've said this before, but I'm convinced that Jason Tatum in a couple of years is going to be a 25, 27 point per game scorer. He is that gifted offensively. So you're not going to catch Boston in too many of those, you know, 3, 4, 5 minute stretches where they only get a couple of points. And that's because this group that you talked about, the 6, 7 guys, they've become so good at playing together that those stretches are few and far between.
Let's take a look out west, Chris, here, just to get a preview on that series, the Rockets and Warriors. You know, not too many people are giving the Rockets a chance in this series. I think it could be an all-time great series. What say you?
I think it could be, too. But game one's everything. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're Houston, you can't fight all season long for home court advantage and lose it in the first game of the conference finals. Like, that would just be devastating to some of those guys mentally. And I think that's when some of the demons of years past could crawl back into their heads a little bit. But I agree that the Rockets are being kind of discounted here. And I know how tough it is to beat Golden State 4 out of 7, all that cliche stuff. But, you know, this is a team with maybe the smartest point guard in the NBA. They've got the probable MVP, and they've got role players who are playing their best basketball. I mean, I watched a couple of those Utah games, and Clint Capella, on the same floor as Rudy Gobert, was the best defensive player on the floor. And he's a much more, you know, versatile defender than Gobert is in a series like this. So I think it's a toss-up type of series. I mean, again, you've got to win these home games early if you're Houston. You've got to put some pressure on Golden State because they've never really felt pressure in the Western Conference playoffs before. But if they can do that, you know, this is at worst, I think, a 7-game series.
Chris, do you think either Eastern Conference team would have a chance against either Western Conference team?
No, this is the JV bracket. This is the bronze medal game. It's the, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you just can't. You can't look at, you know, if Boston had Irving, I'd say maybe, because the Celtics, because of that interchangeability defensively, have played extremely well against Golden State over the last couple of years. They've won in Oakland. They won this year in Boston. Like, they've played the Warriors, and their game plan against the Warriors is really good. So I'd give them a shot because of that. But I can't give Cleveland any shot here. It's just, you know, one man is not enough against a team that's that good.
Chris, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.